What is up, hockey fans? I am Joe O'Donnell. This is One-on-One with, you guessed it, Joe O'Donnell, my first ever episode of this brand new podcast, brought to you today by Capital Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, getting you back in the game, three convenient metro area locations in West Des Moines, Ankeny, and Indianola. Certainly thankful for all of our Iowa Wild sponsors and great corporate partners. And I hope you enjoy a little bit of content here moving forward as I'll try and do a somewhat regular podcast talking all things hockey. Today in the inaugural episode, I'll be joined by Minnesota Wild goaltender and former Iowa Wild netminder Alex Stalock. He'll be chatting with me from the bubble in Edmonton as Minnesota gets set to take on Vancouver in the qualifying round of the 2020 NHL playoffs. Well, that's right, folks. Hockey is back, boy. Well, hang on. Let me digress for a second. In the background, you hear the dulcet tones of Daryl Hall and John Oates, do you? Hall and Oates, One-on-One. We'll see how long that sticks around as the theme song, the theme music for this brand new podcast, but I'm a big Hall and Oates guy. A little, maybe a little too romantic and soothing for a hockey podcast to have Hall and Oates on there, but I had to give him a little stick tap. Okay, the NHL is back, and listen, I could not be more excited. Kicking the feet up and watching a handful of hockey games the last few days has been nothing short of spectacular. And if you look at tomorrow, Saturday, August 1st, and then Sunday, August 2nd, I think it's like 10 total games, including Minnesota and Vancouver. The late, late game, 9:30 Central Time start in Game 1 of that best of five on Sunday night. But things kicking off bright and early tomorrow on Saturday with a noon Eastern game with the Rangers and the Hurricanes. Again, five games on the docket tomorrow. You've got five games on Sunday starting at 1 o'clock Central Time with Arizona and Nashville. You got Philadelphia and Boston, one of those round-robin games I think could be a great matchup. St. Louis and Colorado. I mean, boy, the number of games and the matchups we've got for the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs, I mean, you couldn't script it any better. And kudos really to the National Hockey League for making a safe environment in the hub cities in Edmonton and Toronto. The bubbles, by all indication, are very, very well set up, very detailed, very buttoned up. And so great job by the National Hockey League to get us back some hockey and a little bit of sports normalcy in a safe environment so far. Fingers crossed, knock on wood, the NHL can hand out the Stanley Cup in October. Crazy to think that a Stanley Cup would be awarded when usually training camps and a new season would be beginning. But if all goes as planned and the Cup gets handed out in October, we could have the start of the 2020-2021 NHL season on December the 1st. And the American Hockey League just announced yesterday, the Board of Governors, that they are planning, sort of targeting, December 4th of 2020 to be the kickoff of the next AHL season. So lots of hockey in store. I think it's, you know, it's been great to have a few games on TV the last couple of days. I've really enjoyed the television broadcast. No fans, but yet I think NBC and the NHL have done a great job, you know, kind of curtaining off or putting logos over the seating bowl where, you know, if a lot of empty seats kind of has a weird look to it, an odd feel. But I think they've done a nice job. It's got sort of a feel of almost an international game or some Olympic games. I know a lot of the players have talked about that the vibe in the empty arenas has felt a little bit like some of those outdoor games where the fans are a little further away than your normal hockey rink. So a great job by NBC to get those ice sounds for us, sort of those gnat sounds, so you can feel like you're a part of the game. And by all indications, so far, things going very well in Edmonton and Toronto as the NHL had a couple of days of exhibition games with some good pace, some good physicality, and some teams able to get tuned up and maybe shake off some of the rust after not playing hockey for a couple of months. My thoughts and my feelings really go out to some of the broadcasters that are tasked with calling games remotely. As a broadcaster, I thrive on the atmosphere in the crowd, the sounds on the ice, the spotlights, the game operations, the rock music, the intro videos, all that stuff that's part of going to a sporting event, in some ways helps me feel more into the game when I'm broadcasting from high atop Wells Fargo Arena or elsewhere. I've never called a game off a monitor in a studio in my life. I can't imagine how hard it would be. I'd love the opportunity someday if it presents itself, but I guess I'm feeling a bit for the broadcasters that can't be there and have worked for some of their teams for years, and yet now you're not part of the traveling party. You're not there to talk to the coaches and the players in person. You're not there to get a sort of a sense of the vibe and the feeling around the dressing room before a big game. All that goes into your preparation. All that goes into the excitement of a game from a broadcaster standpoint, in my opinion. And that's not there for a lot of these broadcasters. So it's a uphill battle, I'm sure, for a lot of them to be calling games remotely off television screens. But kudos to them for getting it done and bringing radio and TV broadcasts back to the various fan bases who were, a lot of them, you know, so desperate for hockey and to feel like sports and some form of normalcy is back. So really cool stuff that the NHL and all the things that went into it to make this happen. And it seems like they've done a damn good job so far. So great job there all around. The Minnesota Wild and Vancouver Canucks, best of five qualifying rounds Sunday night, as I mentioned, NBC Sports Network. A couple of things that are going to jump out to me early in the series, going to be goaltending, obviously. That's not rocket science. You know, you got to get good goaltending to win in the playoffs. And then I'm looking for some of the younger players, some of those Iowa Wild graduates, if you will. How do they impact the series? I said at the start of the year I thought Minnesota could be a playoff team if they got contributions from Luke Cunningham and Jordan Greenway and Ryan Donato and Joel Eriksson Ek. You need your young players in the NHL to take that next step so that you can be a deeper team. You can have that depth scoring. And a lot of those guys, as the year moved along, started to really impact things for Minnesota in a positive way on the score sheet, defensively, just being involved and noticeable in a lot of the games down the stretch. Kevin Fiala became a sort of a superstar, an offensive superstar right in front of our eyes. Alex Stalock was playing great hockey. Dean Evason takes over the team, and they appear to be turning the corner, and then the pandemic hits. So we'll see. I mean, most teams are going to be as healthy as they've been in a while, but I'm really looking forward to seeing some of Minnesota's young players. How much can they contribute? You know Zach Parise is going to chip in with his offense. You know Eric Staal is going to be able to convert in some big situations. You know what you're going to get from a Jarrett Spurgeon and a Ryan Suter, a Marcus Foligno, but it's those younger guys. How much of an impact can they have in this best of five series against the Vancouver Canucks? Some content on the Iowa Wild site that I want to make sure you're aware of. We've been doing a lot on social media, as much as we can, given the fact there's no hockey, to bring you some up-close and personal conversations with former Wild players, guys from this past season. We've had some written pieces, not only press releases, but some blogs by yours truly on the new player signings and a look back at last year. So again, iowawild.com if you haven't been up to date. We're trying to do our best to keep some fresh content up there, so please check out our team website at iowawild.com and, of course, our great social media platforms as well. And you can follow me on Twitter at WildJoeRadio. All right, quick word from Anchor.fm, the sort of hosting platform for this podcast one-on-one with Joe O'Donnell. And then when I return, Minnesota Wild goaltender Alex Stalock will be my guest from Edmonton in the bubble as he and his teammates get ready to play the Vancouver Canucks. Welcome back into One-on-One. I am Joe O'Donnell. It's the inaugural episode. Quick message there from Anchor.fm. And I want to thank all of our great corporate partners with the Iowa Wild as well, including Capital Orthopedics and Sports Medicine for presenting this inaugural episode. And our first guest today comes to you courtesy of Buzzer Billy's, one block south of Wells Fargo Arena. They're still open. They're practicing all the safe protocols and social distancing measures. So please support Buzzer Billy's, one block south of Wells Fargo Arena. Go see Jeff Kirby and his staff there. They've been outstanding partners of the Wild since day one. And once Iowa Wild hockey gets rolling again, we hope to have great food and drink specials at Buzzer Billy's before and after every Wild home game. Without further ado, my first ever guest, the man I call Budsy, one of my favorite players to ever come through Iowa, Minnesota Wild goaltender Alex Stalock, joining us live from the bubble in Edmonton. What's up, my friend?
Joe, it's good to talk to you again. And it's funny you brought up Buzzer Billy's. I think the last time we actually did an interview together, we were sitting right there outside the bar at Buzzer Billy's, believe it or not. I don't know if you recall that interview, but we had fun down there. Some fans were there, and we had a good time, and I'm sure we shared some laughs like usual.
Yeah, always do. It's great to catch up with you. How is the bubble treating you? How's Edmonton? What's this whole bubble life all about for NHL players right now?
You know, they've done a great job, the city of Edmonton, since the minute we arrived here, I mean, just alone the bus schedule, how many buses they need for these teams, and, you know, getting us from the airport to the front door of the hotel. And, you know, you think you get to the hotel, it's going to be a slow process, but they pushed us quick through there. We grabbed our keys and we were up into our rooms in a hurry. And they've done a great job out in the streets. Security's around the clock, and they've made it really easy for the players to focus on playing the game. And I think guys are enjoying it. Honestly, they're happy with how it's set up. The amenities we have, the availability to what we need is always there, a phone call away. And now it's up to us to play hockey and put a good product on the ice, and obviously make Wild fans excited about the return of hockey.
No family for you guys. Each of you have your own hotel rooms. Has there been any early stages of just sort of like loneliness and not, you know, that you're missing some of that camaraderie you would normally have on a regular road trip? How's sort of that part of it from a teammate perspective?
You know, I was joking around with some of the guys. I wouldn't mind having a roommate during this. And I know a lot of the guys are like, oh, God, no, please no. But, it you know, like during the day, you're just going to hang out. You FaceTime your family and your kids. And I did bring an Xbox. Greenway borrowed me his Xbox so I can play with my boy back home, which is fun. He gets a kick off. I'm not nearly as good as him. But, you know, that helps. That makes it easier. Thank God for FaceTime. Honestly, for a lot of these guys, we obviously have a veteran team with, you know, guys that have three or four kids at home. So it's that part's tough. But you know what? The young guys here, you know, they keep the youthfulness around here and keep it light. And it's fun. We're learning every day something new about the bubble, and we're having the most fun we can with it.
You've got two kids, a third on the way. How's the family doing in South St. Paul?
Great. We had a kind of an abbreviated off season or whatever it may be, whatever you want to call it, during the shutdown. And we got to spend some quality time together. And, you know, obviously stuff slowly started to open. We got to go outdoors more and start to venture to parks and get to restaurants and sit on patios and stuff. So that helped. But I know, you know, for the kids, obviously school's a big thing and we're kind of still waiting on that in the fall, but, it's obviously different times in the world right now, but we're enjoying it. It's lucky for us. I mean, it's kind of a blessing that we get to spend time with family and I get to be around our kids, because in our profession, you know this better than anybody. You're on the road a lot, and you spend a lot of nights in hotel rooms. So it's good.
You had a birthday the other day. So belated happy birthday. You and I actually did talk because you share a birthday, not only with your teammate, Zach Parise, but my oldest son, Jake. And you happened to FaceTime, and I threw Jake on there, and he was pretty pumped when he found out he shared a birthday with one of his favorite former Iowa Wild players in Alex Stalock. But I noticed at the time you have a mullet going.
Mm-hmm.
How is Felicia, your wife, dealing with your look right now, and what brought about the mullet that I guess really a couple of years ago Patrick Kane kind of brought back to the hockey world?
Right. I mean, that's a lifestyle, honestly. Darby Hendrickson's kind of the unofficial hair guy of the Minnesota Wild. He's kind of my hair guy when I have questions about new product, style. If I ever think about putting color in my hair, he's kind of the guy to go to. He's really knowledgeable with that stuff. So he kind of helped me with it. Felicia, obviously my wife, did the first couple cuts, and early on it was rough because it wasn't too long in the back, but the last two cuts now have been professionally, and it's obviously coming into form, and I'm liking where it's at. It's obviously got a little ways to go, but it's been a fun little ride, and I like it.
Should I be offended you didn't come to me for hair tips?
No, because you run. You like the spike, the front spike, and you know, it seems like you always got a good product. You go with the wet look usually, but that's one thing about you that a lot of people don't know is, we joke about it, but you got an open door policy. And that's one thing that you always made vocal, is that anytime you can step into my office. And, you know, for the listeners, what they don't understand about the open door policy is that your office, you actually don't have a door. So that's the best part. And I don't think I ever came to you with any hair questions when I was there, but I appreciate the offer.
You didn't, but you did come to me for quite a few things over time since –
Oh yeah,
you know, handling the travel responsibilities for your 1 year in Iowa was you always had something on your mind.
Right.
But I'll digress from that. How did you think things went yesterday against the Avalanche in the exhibition game? Of course, you guys are gearing up for Sunday showdown game one against Vancouver. It's a best of five. It's a short series. You got to be ready to go. But you got a chance to tune up against the Avalanche. What did you think about your game and the way the team played?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Nathan MacKinnon didn't lose a step over the break.
Nope.
somehow he got faster. But, you know, it was good. It was feeling out. Obviously, the first game, there's some nerves. You haven't played in 4 months. And, you know, you get one crack and then it's go time. So that's the hard part. And, you know, as the game went on, he started to feel better. He started getting more comfortable. There was traffic. He got into some bumping. He saw some power play. He saw 5-on-3. So he kind of got all aspects, which was good. I mean, it's nice to get that different stuff during a game. And obviously, Sunday's when it matters. And, you know, we're going to have a couple good days of practice, and we'll find out who's going game one. And whoever it may be, I know they're going to give our team a pretty good chance to win a hockey game. So it'll be a fun series. Obviously, you said it'll be short, but we'll need to be ready to go right away, game one. There's no feeling out at that point.
No fans, the tarped over seats. I thought the NHL did a nice job sort of dressing things up in the empty arena. The TV broadcasts look nice. It sounds good. And from a fan perspective, not much to complain about. From a player perspective, I've seen some goaltenders mention the black backdrops can be a bit distracting. What did you feel like with the way things were laid out in the empty arena?
Yeah, it's a little dark, but, you know, there's some rinks around the league that are that way. You know, you think of the Staples Center in L.A., they got black seats, and it's generally dark in there. So you see that around the league already. I think it's kind of similar to – I was fortunate to play in one of, like, the Coors Light outdoor series or what – I can't remember the name of what it was.
Stadium series,
Coors Light Stadium series, yeah, when I was in San Jose. And it reminds me, honestly, of kind of like an outdoor game where you feel like the fans are like set back. Obviously there's no fans, but you know, they're set back. There's nothing like right next to the glass. You know, it just feels like that feeling of everything's kind of farther away, but it's, I think the goofy thing is just the vocals. There's, you hear so much of the chatter of the guys, the referees, and it's, you don't hear any crowd, and obviously playoffs, that's what the crowd is so huge with, momentum and every little play, offsides, penalties, fights, you know. And that's the one big difference for me, I think, is probably the vocals more than actual, you know, sight lines and stuff.
Did you do any extra chirping?
When I got on the bench, there was some chirping going on late in the game. Guys were getting sick of each other already, so it was, you know, I didn't get too much into it yesterday, and kind of let the guys that were competing out there get into it.
How were the ice conditions?
Great. Honestly, I think they did a pretty good job for how many guys are going to be on the ice daily, how many teams will be out there. They got pregame skates going on. It's there's a lot of moving parts underneath in that rink. And that rink, it's, you know, obviously a new rink. It's one of the better rinks, obviously, in the league. And for how many locker rooms they need in there for, I mean – they had three games there yesterday, I think it was. And, you know, we're coming off the ice in between periods, and you got Chicago's out there taping sticks, and guys are getting warmed up. It's just, there's a lot going on underneath, but it's, you know, it'll be fun. And it's like a summer youth hockey tournament. So it's a learning curve for everybody, but everybody's got to do it. So it's, it'll be a ton of fun.
You're listening to One on One with Joe O'Donnell. I'm joined by Minnesota Wild goaltender Alex Stalock, the newly turned 33-year-old netminder. Of course, a Minnesota-born goaltender and was a single-season record holder for Iowa Wild wins in a year by netminder up until this year when Kaapo Kähkönen surpassed them, but still the most minutes played by a goaltender in a single year in Iowa Wild history, more than 150 NHL games on his resume. And, of course, Minnesota getting set to play the Vancouver Canucks in Game 1 on Sunday. You love to handle the puck, and one of the things that I always enjoyed when you were a net in Iowa or on the road in the American Hockey League that 1 year with the Wild was, it's always entertaining, my friend. Tell our fans and our listeners a little bit about why you became so aggressive handling the puck as a goaltender and how much you feel it can help your game.
Boy, yeah, that's a lot different than what my family says after a game. but no, it's
well, they're probably getting, you know, heart palpitations when you're out there at the faceoff dot chipping pucks to the far blue line.
Yeah, there's some times where I'm sure there's some head shaking going on in the family section, but it's the only way I want to play, honestly, and I like to have fun. And they, you know, the last thing, you know, your parents always said to you before you went out and played was have fun. And you know, that's when I'm playing my best, and that's when I'm enjoying the sport the most. And you know, honestly, I'm lucky that I'm left-handed when it comes to playing too, because otherwise I probably wouldn't be doing it. Like if I was a forward, I would be left-handed, and thank God, you know, that's for me, it's just natural to play, handle the puck that way. So I think that's probably one of the reasons why I started doing it. Honestly, I think it helps the team a lot of nights, and you can change a game, or, you know, if a team decides to dump the puck in. And one thing we're working on is trying to get the trapezoid removed, but that's a work in process. But I wouldn't mind if that thing came out, you know, after college hockey, I had to come to pro hockey and they threw the trapezoid in, and that was, that put the brakes on me. And, makes it more difficult. But I do think if they remove the trapezoid, goalies are going to have to adjust and will be harder. I think you'll see goalies taking risks that maybe will create more goals than what's going on right now.
Do you have Marty Brodeur's number on speed dial? Maybe you can send him a text. You know, he's with the Blues front office, if I'm not mistaken. He always loved handling the puck, and the trapezoid would have been probably hell for him.
I think he's the one that guy should be texting to be mad at that they put him in, because you watch old games and he was kind of the first one that really would eliminate teams' break-ins, you know, and you watch old games, old Devil games, and he, every puck came into the zone, boom, right over his D man, break it out. And they made it look so easy. And Marty was kind of the one that pioneered the puck handling, you know, you had Marty Turco in that area and that era, but it's came a long way. And, you know, they're almost demanding guys to play the puck now. And it's came a long way in the last 10, 15 years.
What goalies did you enjoy watching growing up?
You know, we actually had team dinner last night. We got to limit ourselves to six guys per table, but our table got on that topic. We were going around saying your top five goalies, top five power forwards, like all this stuff. And, you know, I think Marty Brodeur, obviously just the way he played, handling pucks and stuff, I was a huge fan of him. Obviously, but I mean, nowadays, and I got to witness this guy so much firsthand, is watching Jonathan Quick, the way he played, the way he competed. You know, obviously he's got Stanley Cups, and I just think the way he moves is incredible. And obviously how successful he's been speaks for itself. And, you know, he's one guy I really enjoy watching, obviously, not only on TV, but when he's in the building and you're in the same building as him, it's fun to see live how he plays.
Let's stick with that theme of players that you like, you enjoy, the top five. And I'm going to throw this at you right off the cuff here. But if you could start a team with one player that's not a Minnesota Wild player, so they don't get you in trouble, who are you taking?
I think Crosby. He's so good at everything. It's crazy to watch him, stuff he does firsthand, how he catches passes. And I mean, there's truly no bad pass for him. It's in his feet. It's in the air. It's 5 feet behind him, 5 feet in front of him. Somehow he gets it into a good position and he's able to make a play. And another guy that has multiple Stanley Cups, so it says a lot about him. But I think he is incredible at every aspect of the game. And I think he'd be a popular decision if you ask guys that.
Certainly. Your year in Des Moines, what did you like the most about Iowa and that year with the Wild in the American Hockey League?
I mean, obviously our team services guy in Iowa was unbelievable. It was the day-to-day was flawless. Travel was flawless. There was never an issue. Our flight
and down, his name again?
Joe O'Donnell. Joe O'Donnell. And the flights were always at 4 a.m. We got out early. We got in the cities early. It was great.
Would you like to add in there how rattled you were at most times? You were like in the back of the plane because of your last name. Begins with an S, and you and I talked about you changing your name at some point, so maybe you could slide up further.
All right,
seating.
I'm throwing an A in front of Stalock. it was awesome, man. I obviously I didn't really I played in Des Moines when I was in the USHL, and obviously it was a stop. You'd come in, you play, you'd leave, and you had no idea about the city. And to live there, I had no idea about, you know, what the people were like, what the city was like. And, man, we still to this day talk about how much we loved it there, and the people are so friendly. And in the city itself is everything that you need and want. And, you know, we had a great time, and obviously we had a great team. We had a great group of veterans mixed with some good young guys. And, you know, it was a fun year. And obviously there was times with the Iowa Wild where there were some down seasons, and, you know, to help out and try to come down and have a winning season and get fans in the building was rewarding. And, you know, I'll always remember my time there, and obviously the friendships you build and the places you lived. And obviously my two kids were there and they spent time there. So you always look back and all fond memories of Des Moines for sure.
Chatting with Minnesota Wild goaltender Alex Stalock here. This is One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell. First ever episode of this new podcast. Mr. Stalock, of course, 20 wins this year for Minnesota, career best at the NHL level. Would I be unfair to say that in some ways that year with Iowa could have at least turned your career around? I don't want to say saved your career, but you had a significant leg injury when you were cut with a skate blade. And, you know, coming to Iowa, you had a great season. And next thing you know, you're in Minnesota the following year. Any credence to the year in Iowa kind of maybe reestablishing yourself in the pipes?
No, you're right, exactly. I don't know, resurrected is a good word or whatever it may be, but sometimes you do need to take a step back. And the year prior, I had a really down year in San Jose. I was traded at the deadline, and then you go into free agency with uncertainty of what's going to happen next. And lucky for me, you know, one of the first phone calls I received was from, at the time, Chuck Fletcher. And, you know, he talked to me, see where my mind was at, and kind of seeing where I felt about my game and what I was willing to do. And he kind of laid out a roadmap for me and said, if we do this and do this and do this, you know, we believe in you as a goalie. And obviously that road started in Des Moines. Lucky for me at the time, I got to work with Freddie Shabbat down there every day and communicate with him on, you know, pick his brain. And I had him at all times to, you know, learn new stuff that I needed to get back to doing, like, you know, fundamentals that were going to allow me to succeed at the next level again. And he was great for me down there. We worked hard. He may force me to work hard. And, you know, lucky for me, we had a great team that we won some games down there and allowed me to succeed. And obviously, like you mentioned, it was a crucial stop to be where, you know, I am today up in Minnesota.
Your love for horse racing. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, funny you say that. Well, my horse raced on my birthday and it won. So that
nice. Was, congrats.
Yeah. So it just raced the other day, and now it'll be racing August 11th up at Canterbury Park in Shakopee. And it's racing in a big race. So it made it to a stakes race. So our ownership group's all pumped, but you know, I got into it probably about 5 years ago, and we've gone through a few horses and we've had some success. And this new horse, this is the one that this one won its first race. I think it was fourth race overall. It finally got its first win, but it was the right time to do it and qualified for a stakes race. First I got into it, I guess, for my kids. You know, I got a text message from Paul Allen. He's like, hey, you should think about it. The kids will love it. You can go down in the stables at any time, feed the horses carrots. And you know, that we did that every summer. And for, you know, a couple times a year, we'd go down there and we'd walk around the stables. The kids absolutely loved it. And unfortunately this year with the COVID going on, we can't go back in the stables, but still, we still had a horse. And August 11th, I'm going to have hopefully a booth booked for the Stalock family down there so they can go watch our race. And while I'm in the Edmonton bubble, they'll be hopefully in the winner's circle taking a picture.
That'd be awesome. What's the horse's name?
This one is A Fabulous Painting. We did not name this one. Obviously, the horse's names kind of come from the father and the mother combined. So I can't remember. I looked at the bloodlines, but why A Fabulous Painting, I can't tell you. But that's the horse's name, and it's got some speed. So we're hoping August 11th that thing can run and run fast.
Alex Stalock, Minnesota Wild goaltender, joining me here one-on-one with Joe O'Donnell. First ever episode here of the new podcast. I'll let you go in just a minute or two, Budsy. Appreciate you joining me here, especially on a day off.
I'm you guys opening get set my to play door the Canucks. I have an open door policy today for you.
You do. Anything, you do. I appreciate anything. That. And stick tap to Aaron Sickman, Minnesota Wild PR, for granting me access to that that open door policy with you. Cards. You love them. You're playing all the time. The back of the bus when you were in the AHL. Now on the charter flight to Minnesota. Your best card game, if you were going to play a hand to save your life, what is it?
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe that's a bit dramatic.
What'd you say?
To save your life. I said maybe that's a bit dramatic after all.
I think 7-up, 7-down is my favorite we play on the plane. And we played that. We actually played that a lot on the bus, too. Schnarples is a big one that guys play, but I like 7-up, 7-down. You got to get exact numbers, and you have a little control over the game on who's going to get points and stuff like that, so that makes it really fun. You can kind of go after the leader, but yeah, when we get heated games going on the plane, it's a ton of fun. It can get loud. We got loud music going, and it's a riot. It makes the flights go faster, that's for sure, and the bus rides, and sometimes the coaches and the staff aren't too fond of the hooting and hollering, but it's a long season, and it helps the monotony of the day-to-day of it.
A couple quick hitters for you. Just a few words here. Describe Jared Spurgeon.
Oh, gosh. Never in the wrong spot. Unbelievable stick. Unbelievable person. Yeah, he's a model. He's the model Canadian, I guess.
How about Marcus Foligno?
Moose. Tough as nails. Poor guy just took something stick in the mouth yesterday. I thought he had a hole in his lip. But natural leader, grit, skill. He's a full package.
How about Joel Eriksson-Ek?
You might want to ask some of the other guys around the league that one. I know he's hated. Annoying to play against, but I sure as heck like him on my team, and every day you know what you're getting from him, every single day.
How about Kevin Fiala?
All world skill, can fly, make plays, Instagram model, but yeah, he's got the tools. He can do it. He's a game changer, and he sure is fun to watch.
And finally, your new head coach, a full-time head coach in Dean Evason.
Prepared, well-spoken, team-oriented, gets to the point, and, you know, he's got our group playing the right way. And since he took over day one, I think the teams look different and says a lot about him.
Outside of solid goaltending, what else is important to beat Vancouver in the qualifying round?
Got to eliminate their skilled forwards. We got to stay out of the box. You can't let a power play like that get multiple chances. And I think our depth is a key piece of the series.
All right, lastly, one-on-one is the name of this podcast, so I figured I'd throw you a one-on-one. Yep. Now, usually with a one-on-one, we're talking a forward and a D-man is back. So give me one one-on-one situation that you'd be comfortable with. Like, so the defenseman you kind of want in front of you defending the Crosbys or the McDavids of the world.
Oh, I thought you were going to say one-on-one. Well, I wouldn't want McKinnon. He saw that. I can't pick one. I mean, I can't do that. There's been way too many times where I've had so many D save my bacon, so I can't take one.
All right, well then, give me the one guy you wouldn't want coming in alone on you.
That's so fresh in my mind. I pray I don't have to have McKinnon come and find out on me again.
Yeah, and poor Brad Hunt was caught a bit flat-footed in a bad angle. It appeared there too as he was charging over the offensive line.
I think even the guys on the bench, no matter where you were, people standing up in the building were flat-footed when that guy got that puck.
Well, Budsy, appreciate you joining me. I guess I should note, I call you Budsy because you insisted on Budsy because you hated Bubba, And there were a lot of Bubba nicknames flying yes. around that year.
When
in
I
Iowa.
Showed up to Des Moines, everybody called each other Bubsy or Bubba, and I was like, "Where are we right now?"
But, well, you
we
got your way.
We changed it.
Thanks for doing this. Good luck against the Canucks. I hope the family stays well, and really appreciate the time today.
Anytime for you. Enjoy your time out east. We'll touch base soon.
All right, that was Alex Stalock, the inaugural guest on One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell. Always love catching up with Budsy. He's a great personality, great person, hell of a goaltender to boot. A couple quick things before we wrap up the first ever episode here. Again, apologize if there were some differing audio levels. I mean, hey, I'm not a professional broadcaster, right? How could I get off? Oh, yeah. Anyway, I'll try and clean them up over time. But currently, I'm in Stone Harbor, New Jersey, in a beach house full of people, family. And so, you know, could be kind of tough with headphones plugged into the iPad, and I'll get some better recording equipment once school rolls around in Waukee, Iowa, and the family is back in Des Moines. Just getting a couple more beach days here before we got to head back east. Kind of bounce back, you know, Iowa, the East Coast during the off season, depending on how the schedule shakes out. But it's always nice to be back here spending some time with friends and family. And like I said, I'm looking forward to watching some hockey this weekend. One of the things you can expect moving forward here on this podcast is a mailbag segment. Didn't want to bust one out for episode one, but looking forward to some feedback from you, the listener, questions you might have, etc. So again, tweet at me at Wild Joe Radio. We'll try and get a mailbag mixed in moving forward here on this podcast, and hoping for some more great guests down the line as well. Enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs. Thanks for everybody who tuned in on episode one. Spread the love, pass it around, like it, subscribe it, tell your friends and family. One-on-one with Joe O'Donnell, the new hockey podcast. And boy, oh boy, was it fun to have episode one cranked out, talking to Alex Stalock, and obviously looking forward to more episodes down the line. Again, thanks for all the great support. Enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I will talk to you soon. I guess I should sign off with some type of tray tables and stowing them in the right position like I would on a normal broadcast. So let me wrap it up properly then. Stow your tray tables in an upright locked position. This podcast is coming in for a landing.